Hello, everybody.
Hi.
You guys doing okay?
I'm doing okay. I don't really care how they're doing.
I mean, I don't really care how they're doing either. I just don't want to keep telling them how shitty they are, because it's going to go to their heads.
Right.
They're going to have problems. I can't pay that therapy bill.
That's a good point.
Yeah, because there's enough audio evidence. Like, it's this guy's fault.
Yeah, this is kind of a waveform trail, isn't it?
It is that. How do we get around that? I don't know.
Well, let's just change the topic. Tim, let me ask you about sequels.
Oh, no.
When it comes to a sequel, I was thinking about this, so slight foreshadowing to
what's
coming up. How do you evaluate a sequel against the original, or do you try to evaluate a sequel as its own film?
Both is the answer.
Both?
So I want it to, in some way, if it's its own thing and it works on its own, that's fine. I want it to pay homage in some way to the material that came before it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want it to just be a sequel in name.
Right.
But, you know, it doesn't have to be, you know, beat for beat, pick up where the last one ended. Although that's fine. It just needs to have a decent enough story. It needs to try to make, if it's like a series of movie, a trilogy of movie, whatever it is, it needs to stand on its own, but it also has to be part of something.
That makes sense. I like it when sequels can come out and they can just be a part of the world that the first one built. I know we're seeing like way too much of that now with like the Marvel Cinematic Universe where it's too overlapped, but I'm thinking of something like Pusher, where Pusher 2, and I reviewed that on a previous episode, so check that one out, was really good, and it was the super minor character played by Mads Mikkelsen from the first Pusher that was barely in it. He was in it for like maybe 5 minutes, and then the second one was all about that character. It's really cool. And it tied together a little bit of the events of the first one, but it really had no impact on the second one at all, other than that was a part of this character's life.
Yeah, that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
I mean, that's Mads Mikkelsen, so
yeah,
can't go wrong.
No. And Nicholas Winding Refn directing. I mean, it's kind of a perfect storm. But yeah, I think I agree with you in that I tend to evaluate the movie as a movie, and then I look at how was it sequelized and is that interesting to me.
Right, because I don't think there's too many sequels that are better than the original. I think there are some.
Yes.
Like, I'm not going to be mad at anybody who tells me Terminator 2 is better than the first one.
I wouldn't be mad, but I disagree.
I would disagree as well, but I wouldn't be mad.
No,
I can see it.
I agree with them, yeah. I agree with where they're coming from is reasonable, and they're both phenomenal films. Alien is the same thing.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. One's way more thriller, suspense, horror, and the other one's action horror.
Yes. So. Yeah, I agree. But I was just curious about that because that's kind of, well, I guess I'll spoil slightly that this is my last two movies of 2019 in this episode.
You did it! You got to the new year!
I'm getting to the new year and the next one, and both of these movies are sequels that end their respective franchises.
Ooh, I'm excited.
Yeah, so that's why
I'm also a little. I'm also scared.
That's worth being scared for you.
Oh, God.
Would you like to go first, or would you like me to go first?
Oh, man. I don't know. With that information you just gave me? Oh. I'll go first. I'll bite the bullet. Here we go. You ready for this?
Yes.
This movie is from also the year of our Lord, 2016. It is Officer Down.
I am familiar with this film.
Yes. I watched this on the 4th of March, right before the world went to shit. The IMDb minutes are 1 hour 28 minutes. Your genre, action, comedy, sci-fi, directed by Sean Crahan, I'm thinking, because my handwriting is pretty terrible. Starring Kim Coates, Tyler Ross, and Meadow Williams.
And the director is also Clown from Slipknot.
That's right.
Yep.
That guy can do anything.
You know what? Sure. I mean, you cast Kim Coates, I'll give you some credit there just for that.
Mm-hmm. He's not a very funny clown, though.
No.
He's no Bozo.
No.
But anyways, your IMDb movie summary. Based on the graphic novel, a police officer who can't be stopped by death returns to the streets time and time again to fight crime. That's basically it.
Well, I can tell you one thing. It's not going to be as good as BioCop.
Nothing's as good as BioCop, except Manborg, maybe. But, you know, BioCop. We got to one day do our top 10 rankings of cops.
Ooh, wow.
RoboCop, BioCop.
Yeah, TimeCop.
TimeCop.
Man, SuperCops.
SuperCop. So many cops. What about Cops the Cartoon?
Cops, yeah, like COPS.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I remember that.
Bum, 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 bum.
Yeah, I remember that. Misdemeanor.
Misdemeanor.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, yep.
Oh, man.
Yep.
Oof. I have that on DVD. We're going to have to watch it.
Holy shit.
Yeah, I got the whole series. We'll do it.
Whoa.
If you're man enough for the challenge.
I mean, I certainly am.
All right. All right. It's like four DVDs. All right.
That's cool. I mean, there's alcohol.
Oh, right. Now it's great.
Yeah.
This movie's based on a graphic novel by Joe Casey and Chris Burnham. It's got weird, crazy characters. It is very over the top. This is like Smoking Aces plus seven, you know? The humor sometimes misses, but the violence and gore doesn't. If you're in this just to watch weird shit happen to weird characters in almost like comparable to like Judge Dredd, then this is for you.
Right.
Officer Down, it's kind of like Judge Dredd meets the Crow kind of a feeling.
Okay.
Because he can't be stopped.
Right.
He just keeps coming back. It's a little different than that. He actually gets resurrected every time he dies by the police. It's some corporation underneath the police station, essentially.
Right.
And what's cool is they kind of use very surprising little details to humanize Officer Down, which is Kim Coates. Because he just seems like a fucking monster. Like, they just plug him in and let him go kind of thing.
Right.
And they do end up doing these awesome little things that make him a sympathetic character in some ways. All the other characters, couldn't care less about just about any of them. There is Meadow Williams is like a crazy gun-toting nun. It's a whole thing. He takes on the church. It's a whole thing. But but she's a pretty interesting character. I have skimmed through this graphic novel. It's actually very faithful to the graphic novel. My problem with the graphic novel is that it contains the script for the movie in the back half of it. So the graphic novel isn't actually a true trade, but it is priced like a trade, and it drives me absolutely fucking insane.
Oh, that's rough, yeah.
But it is super accurate. Like, there are scenes from this movie, and they're just panels from the comic. Perfectly done. And I love that, but I just can't recommend the book in that respect.
Sure.
As a graphic novel, as like issues, if it came out in issues, yeah, read it. But as a movie, this movie's all right. It's not amazing. It has super cool concepts and really great moments, but it just, as a movie, doesn't really hit the mark for me.
Fair enough.
Which makes me sad, because I love Kim Coates.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Your IMDb score, they gave it a 4.2. Rotten Tomato critics, 12 critics reviewed this. They gave it a 33%. 173 audience members of Rotten Tomatoes gave it 30%.
Yikes.
I was more forgiving than all of them, but I did just give it a 5.0.
Okay.
It's like one of those oddities. You'll watch it and you don't ever think about it again.
Sure.
Until it comes up on your podcast and you're like, ah, fuck, I gotta talk about it.
Right.
But, you know, it's a cool visual thing. You know, it's not good, but, like, you could watch it.
Sure.
There's ninjas.
Nice. Nice.
What you got, Max?
You threatened me a couple episodes ago and said if I ruined the podcast, I was going to be in big trouble. So I'm going to do that right now.
Oh, because no.
I am going to evaluate the film Star Wars: The Rise of Skywalker.
Oh, yes.
This film came out in 2019. I watched it in December of 2019 at the movie theater when you were still allowed to go there.
Right before the world went to shit.
Yep. It was 2 hours and 22 minutes long. It is a sci-fi action movie. It was directed by this guy you may have heard of, J.J. Abrams. It stars Daisy Ridley, Adam Driver, and John Boyega, who I love, John Boyega. He is great.
Mm-hmm.
The summary of the film is the surviving members of the Resistance face the First Order once again, and the legendary conflict between Jedi and the Sith reaches its peak.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay, here's where we lose everybody.
I'm scared, man. I know this movie is super polarizing.
Yeah.
To the Star Wars fan base, it was like right down the middle.
So I will give you my thoughts on this movie. Have you seen this movie, Tim?
I have seen this movie.
Okay, I'll give you my thoughts. This feels like a D&D campaign that's trying to retcon the 10 previous levels of the campaign.
Okay.
It's just a small party goes out on an adventure, and that adventure needs to fix a whole lot of plot holes that the DM had set up in the previous 10 levels worth of game.
That's pretty fair, actually.
It's pretty good, but it's kind of crushed under the weight of the monotony that they need to go through to make it like a Star Wars movie. JJ's very much like a I'm following the Star Wars formula filmmaker, and all of the fan service that he needed to do to dig the franchise out of all the problems created by Rian Johnson's The Last Jedi. I don't think they were problems. I think of this trilogy, if I had, and here's part of the reason why people are going to start tuning out, I think if I had to pick one of the three movies to be the best of the new trilogy of Star Wars films, it would be The Last Jedi. I think it was
that is polarizing.
Yeah, it was the most interesting. It was the ballsiest. It pushed the franchise in a different direction than we've ever seen before. And I know a lot of people had their panties in a wad because they liked all their Timothy Zahn books. And I had my ideas about the franchise and no one read my novels. It's whatever. I get it, nerd. You really wanted to jerk off a lot to your great ideas, and they didn't use them. I'm sorry. That's fine. And I think this movie is, if you did not like The Last Jedi and you do not like this movie, you deserve this movie because it's your fucking fault this movie had to be made the way it was made. They had to get rid of Colin Trevorrow. They had to bring back JJ to try to save this bullshit because you fucking suck and you can't do anything other than fucking piss and moan in your mom's basement because you didn't like the fact they didn't read your treatment. Sorry, they didn't. It sucked. Your ideas about Star Wars probably aren't that good. You need to get over it. It's not your franchise. You love Star Wars because it meant something to you as a kid. Let these Star Wars mean something to people as a kid. Yes, there's a female lead. Yes, she's not terribly well written, but she ended up kind of being interesting until they had to go back and make her more linear again in this one. Everything about the franchise that could have been interesting, they got neutered in this one because they just had to make it a Star Wars movie again. There was some cool stuff. I like that little droid that worked on, or that little Muppet that worked on C-3PO. That was cool. He was cool.
He was cool.
I liked him. I liked parts of it a lot. I thought Chewbacca was straight up dead.
Yeah. Yeah, I was worried.
I was like, holy shit. Like, I was just, some of it was cool, and it was worth a watch. Emperor Palpatine as the Doctor from Hellraiser 2 at the end was really cool.
Yeah.
That's all interesting shit, but it's not interesting enough to make a really cohesive film, and certainly not a really good, like, it doesn't give you that warm, fuzzy feeling that all the Ewoks kind of oddly celebrating during the Han and Leia bits kind of, I guess, give, I don't know, fucking, I don't like Last Jedi much either, so...
Wub,
or sorry, Return of the Jedi. Yeah, so it's whatever. I mean, Return of the Jedi was not a stellar close for that particular trilogy, in my opinion. This is not a stellar close for this trilogy. So, I mean, I guess they're following suit, right?
They do. Yeah, they're keeping tradition.
So,
now episode 3 was pretty terrible as well.
Yeah, no doubt. The prequels, woof. Oof, Attack of the Clones is one of the worst things in Star Wars.
I agree. That's my least favorite by far.
Yep, same. So now that no one's listening, IMDb gives us a 6.7 out of 10. Rotten Tomatoes critics, 484 critics gave it a 51%. The audience, 92,000 people, gave it 86%.
I feel like a lot of nerds got to fight from the bottom to get that.
Yeah. Tim, what did you think? What would you score this film?
Again, I have seen it, and I don't have my number in front of me, but I would probably say this is like a 6 for me.
I gave probably this movie a 5.5 out of 10.
I'm always 0.5 above you on the bad movies.
I think it is a movie that you can watch. It's a movie you may enjoy, and nothing is wrong with that. It's a movie that I feel like kind of got crushed under the weight of what it needed to do and didn't quite get there. And wasn't the interesting things it could have been based on what Rian Johnson was trying to do with his second film in the trilogy. Not that any of them are great. Like, I'm not saying I would give Last Jedi like an 8 or anything. It's not even close to that in that world.
Right.
I don't think there's a movie in that trilogy that scores outside of a 6.5. So Star Wars, this new Star Wars didn't offend me in any way. I think this would probably be the lowest one for me. Force Awakens maybe on the same, maybe a 6, and then maybe Last Jedi is like a 6.5. But
yeah, that's polarizing. I love it.
Yeah, it's not it's not like these movies are like batting 1,000 for me, but I'm not a huge Star Wars guy, so I enjoy them, but I don't love them the way some people do.
How'd you feel about Rogue One?
I thought it was pretty good. I give it probably a 6.
Okay.
I thought it was pretty good, though. Like, I was surprised how bleak it was. I liked that. I liked certain shots in it. Like, the filmmaking was actually really cool.
Right.
So I thought it was pretty good.
Interesting. Interesting. Mm-hmm. Interesting. Well, now if no one's listening, now that they've all turned us off, it's time for me to do something that hasn't been done before.
Whoa.
I am going to review a movie that is the oldest movie we've ever reviewed on here.
Holy shit.
The year, not of our Lord, is 1935.
Oh boy.
Oh yeah. This movie has two different titles. I've seen it fairly regularly between the two, so I think it's more commonly known as The Clairvoyant.
Okay.
It's also known as The Evil Mind.
Interesting.
I watched this somewhere in the middle of March. Your IMDb minutes, 1 hour, 21 minute. Genre, drama, mystery, romance. Directed by Maurice Elvey.
Okay.
Starring Claude Rains.
Hmm.
Fay Wray.
Hmm.
Mary Claire.
Okay.
And Jane Baxter.
Wow. Got some King Kong, got some Invisible Man.
There's some names in there for sure.
Yeah.
Your summary: a fake music hall clairvoyant meets a woman, and suddenly his predictions seem to come true. ..
I like it.
This movie, it's black and white, it's old, it's from 35. I really enjoyed how this movie is told. Now, you know, some of the dialogue might be a little meh, because it's older.
Sure.
We don't talk like that anymore, so to speak, but I don't think it ever lost me, and I don't think it would lose too many people in the audience either. Basically, bullet points: a new woman seems to be the source of his powers. Is this bad news for his marriage? Bum, bum, bum. Mm. It is. So he's like a swindler. His wife is actually his assistant. It's very Amazing Jonathan-esque. Sure, that was the inspiration. So what happens is this woman goes to see his performance, and he notices her in the crowd, and he actually makes a correct prediction that is very difficult, and they're in the middle of booing him and calling him a fraud, and nobody can really explain how he does it. From there, he keeps having premonitions, and he realizes the common link is the woman, because the next one he has is on the train leaving the venue. She is on that train. He recognizes her, and he has another premonition. The one that he has on the train, which is interesting, kind of sets up the rest of the movie, so I'll teeny tiny spoiler it. He has a vision, because she's near him, of the train colliding with vehicles and people dying. So he pulls the emergency brake, he stops the train, all of that. By the time they get the train going again, they get a call that there's been a huge accident on the rails and they can't go. So his prediction is true.
Right.
But then it calls into question later, is his prediction true, or would they have, like the train as an example, would he have just made it past it and the accident would have happened without the people on the train?
Right.
Because people got hurt on the train when he slams the brake down. They're like, he is a menace in a way. So it's really telling this deep story, and there's so many little parts that by the time you get to the end, it's fantastic. It's really good storytelling.
That's cool.
Yeah, I love this movie. I thought it was pretty good. And I mean, like I said, older movies, I love them, but like I don't expect a lot out of them. It's you know, a different time. I'm not supposed to understand everything, you know.
Right.
But I really did enjoy this. And Claude Rains, he starts out pretty likable, even though you know he's kind of a grifter. And by the end of it, you're like, you're just really not sure how you feel about him, because he's making kind of more pressured decisions. But it's like, yeah, he's a little meh. It's very good. It's very good storytelling. So
awesome.
IMDb gave this a 6.7.
Okay.
Rotten Tomato critics, nobody went back. So here's where we go a little off the rails. The audience, 169 people reviewed it and gave it a 41%.
Okay.
When I see numbers dip that much, I'm just like, ugh, the wrong people are watching this movie.
Right.
And it makes me wonder what makes them want to watch this movie.
Yeah, I agree.
So, and then my score is a 6.0. So I more or less agree in the range of IMDb and their score. And I just don't understand why people keep shitting on old movies. Why are you watching old movies if you don't enjoy old movies?
Yeah, exactly. If you don't want to go back and kind of look at how movies are made, or what the building blocks were, or how stories started to develop and how dialogues evolved, then just like Tim said, don't go, just watch a new movie. Like, you don't have to go back and watch that. You can watch something new. You can watch a current murder mystery, like something like a Knives Out. You don't have to go back and watch something that Knives Out is taking the tropes from to appreciate it.
That's right. And that's exactly what I was going to say. You can, all these movies have been done over 1,000 times, and much worse, in a way you'll enjoy. Not Knives Out. I haven't seen that yet.
But me either. I want to see it.
It's on Prime. It's free. I'm going to watch it soon.
Oh, is it? Is that true?
That is true as of this recording.
Shit. All right. Well, I'm going to watch that very soon, too.
But I'll get to it first. So,
oh, you will. Yeah, you will. That's still fine. I just want to watch it.
Okay, that's fair. Well, come on over. Screw this quarantine.
Right?
All right, Max. Where are you taking me?
So, this is the last movie I watched this year.
It
ends a franchise. It is 2019's Rambo: Last Blood.
Yes.
I watched this right at the end of 2019. I think like the 30th or the 31st of December.
What a way to ring in the new year.
I got, it was lent to me and I was like, I'm watching this before the new year because it's Last Blood, so it can be the last movie I watch. It is 1 hour and 39 minutes. It is an action movie. It was directed by Adrian Grunberg. It stars, of course, Sylvester Stallone. It's got Paz Vega and Yvette Monreal. The movie summary is Rambo must confront his past and unearth his ruthless combat skills to exact revenge on a final mission. This movie is a horrific pile of shit.
Oh no!
It is so fucking bad. It is so bad as a film. It is so bad as a Rambo film. This movie is so fucking bad, it makes 3 look like cinematic gold.
Oh no!
Yeah, it is poop. It is really bad. I was so mad watching this movie through 50% of it, 60% of it maybe. I was just so pissed off watching this movie, primarily because as a sequel, I thought that the previous Rambo, which is just titled Rambo, right? Rambo.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, because there was no Rambo, so the very first Rambo is First Blood, and then there's Rambo 2, and then, or First Blood Part 2, Rambo First Blood Part 2. Is the title
of Rambo. And then Rambo 3.
Rambo 3, and then Rambo. So the franchise makes no sense in title, but...
Right. Well, they never expected it to be a thing.
Right. I thought Rambo was a really good way to sign off the series. Like
I love that movie.
Yeah.
I love that one.
It's awesome. It's brutal. It's enough of a motivator to allow Rambo to arc as a character. You see him and he's broken. He gets back to like realizing what he needs to do and kind of facing his past and not really. It was really, really impressive, especially for a movie whose trailer featured the song Drowning Pools or Bodies by Drowning Pool, which is a rule that if there's a movie that has that in the trailer, I have to go see the film. I expected to fully poop on the Rambo movie, but loved it. Like, I thought it was awesome. I thought it was possibly the second best of the series after First Blood.
That's arguable. I wouldn't fault you for it.
And then I was like, all right, it's like maybe this one will surprise me. Who knows if Stallone wanted to come back to it after that send off? Maybe there's something really interesting to see here. There's not. There's not at all. He's not at the house he was at the end of Rambo. He's just on like this ranch. He's like, all of his, like, flashback stuff barely has to do with the movies. It's all this stuff that, like, they made up as flashback for the movie. That, like, he's with a woman who's his housekeeper and her daughter. And, like, he's taking care of her for her whole life. And she goes to find her father in Mexico. And he's like, I'll do that. And she does it anyway. And then she gets, like, drugged up and sold into sex trafficking. And then he has to go, because just, like, go save her. It's just, like, did they, like, they tried to want to make a Rambo rape and revenge movie. And
that's weird.
It's, like, and then they go back, and there's just, like, this, like, Fistful of Dollars-esque kind of, like, oh, they're all coming back, and it's one guy against an army, but he's Kevin in Home Alone, and he's going to blow them up. It's fucking bad. I was so pissed off watching this movie. It is an abortion. It doesn't deserve the Rambo title. It is awful. I was so let down. As a movie, it has nothing to stand on. It's cliche garbage. As a sequel, it drags the entire series down a whole... Like, my score for this is so low that it would wreck my average of Rambo as a series.
Oh, that's so unfortunate.
Yeah, it's poop. So let's get to the scores. IMDb gave this a 6.2 out of 10 because somebody got paid a lot of money.
Sure.
Yeah, Rotten Tomatoes critics, 164 of them gave this 27%.
Oh, wow.
Now here's the kicker, the audience score. 8,000 people gave this an 82%. Okay. I gave this a 1.5 out of 10.
Man.
It was a horrible way to end what was overall a pretty positive year in films outside of this film and Killer Waves for me.
Oh, God.
It was hot garbage, and I don't know what anybody was thinking when they made this movie. Everybody who's made this movie has done better by a long shot. I'm pretty sure their last bowel movement was a better film than this one. And don't watch Rambo Last Blood because it fucking sucks.
Oh, that's so depressing.
Yeah. It's bad. There's nothing. I can't think of anything redeeming to tell you or any reason I can tell you to watch this film.
Well, I tell you what, Max, when I give you the poo on the Xerox, it'll be actually the Xerox will be underneath a copy of Rambo.
I think I'd be more excited about the poo.
Well, you haven't seen my poops. They're very weird.
Yeah, but I have seen Rambo.
Also weird.
Yeah, so that's the end of 2019 for me. So starting the next episode, we will be in the current year, the year everything went to hell. Except for Last Blood, because somehow that came out in 2019.
Just wild. Wild times we're living in.
Yeah.
Hopefully soon you and I will be back face-to-face, making the good old magics.
Yeah, it's gonna be absolutely. Good. Yeah, I'm excited for that. Thanks for sticking with us through the quarantine bits. Hopefully we're coming out of it and we don't have to be plagued by Tim's evil cat, though. It was pretty good this one. This episode was pretty good.
Yeah, it's probably hurt somewhere crying. I'll find it eventually.
Yeah, I mean, you know, there's many ways to skin a cat.
That's right. I'm going to invent some new ones.